Okay, we're going to, first of all, you have a test this week that is due next Thursday. At some point, I got a new toy that I've played with over time, and I'm no better at it than I was when I first got it. But it lets me draw, et cetera, et cetera. So hopefully you can read it. Anyway, what this test is to go back and kind of go through logic, mostly looking at if statements again. And so I start out with problem one, for example, and I have a memory variable called one, and it says assume the following. One will be put in the memory variable called count. And then assume the following. A will be put in a memory variable called code. And then assume the following, 25 will be put in a memory variable called cost. Okay, and then I say, follow the logic in the flowchart, what will be in the memory variable count when you're done. So you go over to the flowchart, and the first question it asks is code equal A? And you respond to that, and then respond to the next question, and so forth. And when you run out of the if statement, what's going to be in count? So that's what you're looking at, is what will be in count when you have completed the if statement. Okay? The first five build on each other. If you make a mistake on one of them, that doesn't mean all the rest will be wrong. It just means that I will continue from that point following your mistake and see if it works. The rest of them do not build on each other. So that is a test. It will be accepted late, but... What did I just do? It will be accepted late, but I'll take off a lot of points. You know, on a daily basis if it's late. So you've got, it's due next Thursday, the 17th. That gives you plenty of time. If it's late, I'll take it, but I'm going to take off a bunch of points. So, in other words, don't be late. Okay. Okay, we are now going to continue looking at JavaScript. Okay. What I'm going to look at is the one I told you that you could do, and if you did it, it was extra credit. So it had to be passed in by now if you wanted the extra credit. So what I've got here is that math problem that we looked at last week where I asked, did you want to multiply or did you want to divide? Or that sort of thing. So here is a solution to it. Okay, so I started out and I defined my variables, first num and second num. And then I had a variable called what to do. And this is all part of the program that I wrote before. And I said first num prompt, second num or prompt, what to do or prompt. Well, the first thing I did was I changed this prompt. It used to say multiply or divide. I added or plus or minus to tell them that they could put in any combination of that. Then I went down and I started asking the questions. And the first question asked if what to do equals an asterisk. And if it does, then I'm going to do the multiply. Okay? So I started out, and this was what was there. And then the else that I want to put in is going to be all of that. So when I put in the curly brace, lots of times I line up and put another curly brace in down there just to kind of keep track of my early braces. Okay? So if what to do equals an asterisk, I did a multiply. Else, I asked the question if what to do equals a slash. And if it does, I did a divide. If it didn't, I have another else, and I put the else like that. So that's another else that I have. If it is not a divide, then I'm going to ask, is it a plus? And if it's a plus, this is what I want to do. And if it's false, that's what I want to do. Okay? And if it is not a plus, then I want to ask, is it a slash? And if it is, I want to do the subtract. And if not, I want to put out the word problem. So that's my code that I go through. Notice my add is not just adding, it's doing a pass float so that I can convert to numbers so that it will add instead of concatenate. Because it will concatenate if I don't do that. Okay, it will concatenate the two numbers rather than adding it. So the logic that I use, just looking at the flowchart for now, for the decision, is if it was an asterisk, I did a multiply. If the answer was no, I asked the next question. And the next question was it a divide? And if it was, I did a divide. And then I had a no. And the no would take the else and would ask, is it a plus? And if it was a plus, I did an add. And if it wasn't, then I ask, is it a minus? And if it's a minus, I did a subtract. And if it was no, I did a problem. And then I close up, starting with the bottom. Close up the yes or no. Go back and close up that yes and that no. The yes and the no. The yes and the no. And keep noticing the no keeps getting bigger and bigger. Okay? Where all the stuff that's included in it. So that's the logic that I went through. And that's how I got the curly braces to work. Okay? So that was extra credit if you passed it in prior to now. Okay? Questions? Yeah?
Do the curly braces that match each other have to be in the same column?
No. In fact, they can all be over against the left wall, and then I wish you a lot of luck trying to figure out what goes with what. But I indent them and try to line them up for my own sake. It's not for the computer's sake. It's for my sake and other people's sake if I line it up. And as I mentioned, one of the things I always do when I'm doing curly braces is I count the open ones and I count the closed ones and see if I've got the same number. Because if I don't have the same number of open and close, it ain't working. Okay, and that's one way to check it. And the other way is to go through what I just did there, where you can kind of line them up and make sure they're working. Because there's nothing worse than to write something like this and have missed a curly brace someplace. That really throws the whole logic off. Yeah.
You have four no's and you have four sets of else's with curly braces opening and closing. Is it always the case?
Yeah. You're going to get a no for every else. Every else, and every else generates a no, yeah.
So could you just know that you need four curly braces at the end of your whole piece of logic?
Sure. As long as it's just this kind of question, but it's usually not that simple.
I was wondering.
the other thing is that a lot of professionals don't like the curly braces on a separate line the way I do because it takes up a lot of code. I do it for this for two reasons. One is for teaching reasons, that you can see where the curly braces are a lot, so I do it better in a classroom. But I even like them better because I lose track of curly braces. If it's something I'm going to make a mistake in, it's going to be curly braces. But a lot of people would put up, for example, this curly brace they put there, and then this curly brace they put there. So they take those out and they do it that way. Okay. That's the kind of look that I find it very easy to lose track of my curly braces in that. So I don't like it for me, but I also don't like it for showing. But a lot of professionals will do it that way. They will put that curly braces like that, where one is at the end of the F and the other one is at the end and after they're done with the whole thing. And they'll go back and do that rather than put them on separate lines. Okay? And you may indeed get to the point you want to do that, but I think learning-wise, it's easier to see them on separate lines. Okay. I think I took a picture of that, but I'm going to try it one more time. Okay. Can I please get this over here so I can close it? There. Okay, I think I've sorted my life out now. So the next one we're going to look at is if with if. And this is just a very simple if statement. Enter the number of points you earned. I'm entering 56. And it says, okay, you can choose a prize from Group A. Okay, so the way I did this is this. I put in a prompt in my points. And then I said, if my points is less than 10, take this literal and put it in the variable called message. So I'm taking this literal because it's in quotes. And putting it in the variable called message. Else, if points is less than or equal to 50, I can choose group B. Else, I can choose group A. Well, I had 56 that I entered in here, and so 56 is not less than 10. It's not less than or equal to 50, so I make this is my choice. Okay, so this is what comes up. Message, you can choose a prize from Group A. So if you look at the logic of just the decision on that, and it's, again, simpler than the one we were looking at, but I'm asking, is it less than 10? If it is, then I put out the not message. Okay? If it is not less than 10, then I'm checking to see if it's less than or equal to 50. And if it is, I put out the B message. Otherwise, I put out the A message. And after I put out the main message, I do a write that writes out the message. you can do a document write instead of setting a message. Every line there, I could have put my own document write in there. Document write, and then inside the quotes, not enough points for a prize, etc. But in every language, the write statement generates a lot of machine code. So it just makes sense to minimize how many times you do the write statement. And so if I set the message and then just do the write statement once, the program is a faster program than as if I have a lot of writes embedded in. Okay. So that's one reason for doing it that way. Questions on this one? Does this one make sense? Going, going, gone. Okay. The next one is Mass or Rhode Island. So I said enter your name, and I'm going to enter Ann. Enter the state, I'm entering MA. And it says, Ann, you live in Massachusetts, which obviously since I entered MA, makes sense. Actually, I think I'll just select all. Okay. So the first thing to notice about this one is that the is written as two pipes. So or is written as the two pipes. And those are right under the backspace. And on your keyboard, they look like they're two lines separated. But in fact, they come out as just one line. And so that's the or. So I write, if the state equals Mass or the state equals Rhode Island, then I want to do one thing. Else, I want to do something else. Now, I put a BR in these just because I wanted to show different ways to use a BR. But in fact, I never wrote a second line, so they're a waste of time. I didn't need a BR there when I wasn't going to write a second line, but I was kind of showing different things. So I'm saying here, if the state is Mass or the state is Rhode Island, write out the contents of one name, concatenated with, and that's a perfectly legitimate thing to do here, concatenated with, you live in, concatenated with the state. And then I put a comma and a BR. I actually could have put the concatenate symbol there too, instead of the comma, and said concatenated with a BR. So I can do either one. Okay, I can use commas as separators, or I can use pluses as concatenators that move things together. And the BR in quotes gets sent down to the browser. It sees the BR and does a break. Okay. So this one is asking the question, is it MA? And if it is MA, then I am writing the live-in line. If it's not MA, then I've got a second chance. Is it Rhode Island? If it's Rhode Island, I write the live-in line. And if it's not Rhode Island, I write the not. You don't live in, so I write the not line. Okay. So this is a standard or. Is it Massachusetts? If it is, I'm going to write the live-in line. If it's Rhode Island, I'm going to write the live-in line. Now, one thing to notice here is that these are the same. And if those weren't the same, I couldn't do the compound. If I had different messages I wanted for Massachusetts, and different methods for Rhode Island, then I couldn't write a compound. Because the compound is saying, if either of these is true, this is what I want to do. So if they're the same, then that works. If they're different, doesn't work. Okay? There are four possibilities. I'm getting that wonderful mix of yellow and green again. I mean blue and green. Okay, so those are the four possibilities when I've got two questions. I could get a yes to both. I could get a yes to the first, a no to the second. No to the first, yes to the second. No to both of them. Okay, with this, I have got only one has to be true. If Massachusetts is true, if Rhode Island is true, I only care if one of them is true. And basically, I don't care which is which. So if I get a yes to the first question, I don't care when I get to the second question. I want to do the live-in. If I get a no to the first question, then I ask the second question. If I get a yes, I do the live-in. If I get a no to both questions, then I do the not. Okay, I do not live in. So if I get a no to both questions, I do the not. Okay. And that always works with an or. Questions. Okay. The next one is an and. Problem two is called. Don't know why I called it that. So John enter the year of birth 1990. Enter your marital status M. And John meets the criteria. Okay, so now I've got a and. And an and is written this way. Okay, that's an and. An and has got two ampersands. Okay, so I took in three things of my prompts on this one. Notice that the year of birth, I took in by saying parse integer. I should have mentioned window.prompt is the same as prompt. Doesn't make any difference. Prompt is being done in a window. If I want to, I can write window.prompt. Or I can just write prompt. It doesn't matter. Okay? So, on this one I use window.prompt. But most of them I use prompt because I'm basically lazy and I don't want to type extra words. Okay? So, on the year of birth one, I have parse integer. That means it's going to attempt to convert it to a number right when it takes it in. And the reason I want to do that is that I like to compare things of the same type. So if I have this as a number, I can then compare it to a number down here, and that works best if I have things of the same type for my comparison. So I'm converting that to an integer, and then I'm comparing. And I'm looking for year birth greater than 1980 and marital status equal M. And if those are both true, it meets my criteria. So I'm looking for year birth greater than 1980 And if the answer's yes, then I'm going to ask, is marital status equal to an M? Because I want them both. And if that's true, then they meet my criteria. If it's a no, then it is not. It did not meet my criteria. And if I get a no to this, it did not meet my criteria. So an and wants two things. Both have to be true. So again, I made this a compound because these two are the same. If those two weren't the same, I couldn't make it a compound because the no would have been, which answer do you really want? So they have to be the same to make it a compound. Okay? Now, looking at the whys and the ends that I looked at last time, Y, 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 N, N, Y, N, N, are the four possibilities. So Y, Y gets me a meet. Okay? Y, N gets me a not. If I get an N to the first one, I don't care what the next ones are. It says an N to the first one, I don't care about the second. And so this is a not meet. It does not meet the criteria. Okay, so only one thing met the criteria, and that is if I get a yes to both questions. Anything else does not meet the criteria. What did I just do? Questions. Somebody will be very happy if you ask a question. There's at least five people in the room thinking they'd like to ask a question. So if you ask it, they'll be happy. Questions? Okay, you don't want to make anybody happy? That's all right. Okay, now, I mentioned before that programming languages need to support three things. And the three things are they need to support sequence. They need to support selection. And they need to support repetition. Okay? And what we've been focusing on is selection, if statements are selection. If this, if that, that's selection. Now we're going to look at repetition, which is loops. Okay, so we're going to start to look at loops. And loops have three things also. So be careful when on the exam I ask you about three things. Loops require three things too. You need to set the control. The control is the thing that keeps track of how many times you're doing the loop. You need to check the control. That's what tells you it's time to get out of the loop. And you need to change the control. Because if you don't change the control, then you may never get out of the loop. So you need to have those three things when you're dealing with loops. You need to set the control, you need to check the control, and you need to change the control. And we're going to look at all of those three things as we start looking at loops. Okay. So, the first one is a while loop. And the question is, how many times should I write the line? So I'm going to say 4. And it wrote the line 4 times. So it wrote the line 4 times. So I start out by saying variable data input equals 0. And then I said data input prompt, how many times should I write the line? And then the first thing I do is set the control. So this statement says set, because I'm setting the control. Now, notice I put that variable not where I put the variables usually, right at the top, but I put it down a little further. And the reason I did that is I wanted it right on top of the loop. Did I have to have it there? No, I could have put it up there with the other variable. But by putting it there, it kind of emphasizes that I am setting the control. So I'm setting the control there with the count. Then I am checking the control here when I put a condition in there and say, do this loop while count is less than data input, less than or equal to data input. So I'm checking every time I do the loop to see if I should do it. And then the change is down here where I am changing things. And I'm changing the control. So I set the control, I check the control, and I change the control. And count is my control. Okay? So, I start out and I set count equal to 1. And then I put in data input as a 4. So data input is a 4. So I start out and I say, while count, which is 1, is less than or equal to data input. Well, it is less than or equal to. So I go into the loop. And I write out, this is number concatenated with count, which is 1, concatenated with a BR, because I want to, after I've written it, move down to the next line. So I'm concatenating that with the BR. Then after I write it, I change count by doing an add 1 to count. Okay? And that's the bottom of the loop, because the things that are done in the loop are enclosed in these curly braces, just like things to do in an if statement are enclosed in the curly braces. Okay? So I'm saying, at this point, I've hit the curly brace. It loops back, and it says, okay, should I do the loop again? Well, check count. Is count less than or equal to data input? And yes, it is. 2 is less than or equal to 4. So I go in, I write out, this is number 2. I do a break, and I add 1 to count. And then I go back. Is count less than or equal to data input? Yes. 3 is less than or equal to 4. So I go in, I write out this is number 3, and then I add 1 to it. I go back, is count, which is 4, less than or equal to data input, which is 4? Yeah, they're equal. So I write out this is number 4, and then I add 1 to count. So now when I go back, count is not less than or equal to data input. So at that point, I drop out and I write out the end. I drop out and I write out the end. So that's how the loop works. The things that I want to process
when I go into the loop are enclosed in the curly braces. And so that encloses the part that is relevant to the loop. Okay. Questions? What about if I entered a zero? How would this act? Pardon me?
It would just say this is the end.
That's right. It would just say this is the end. Okay. So if I go back and rerun this, and I put in a zero, it just says this is the end. Okay? Because in this case, I entered a zero, count is a one, is count, which is one, less than or equal to zero? No. So it never enters the loop. So it may never execute the loop. Depending on the data, it may never execute the loop. So when I put in a zero, it said zero is not less than, one rather, is not less than or equal to zero, and so it didn't execute the loop.
I just tried it with a Z.
Yes.
And it I guess letters are less than numbers.
Okay.
Because it comes up with this is the end.
Right. And it just may have, yes. Okay, one is less than or equal to data input. And it's a Z, okay? Questions? If you're doing something like that, you frequently would do a test prior to doing it and ask, is it, you know, check and make sure it's a number, too. Okay. Next, we're going to look at another kind of loop. Or actually, I want to flowchart this one. So we will stay here for a minute. Come on, you can move. Okay. So I put in a stat. And I define most of my variables. And then I do a prompt. And then I define count. Okay, so I said count equal to one. And then I did my loop. And the first part of the loop, I asked the question, is count less than or equal to data input? And if it is, what I'm going to do is process. Well, in this particular case, what I want to do for process is I want to do a write and I want to add one to count. So that's what I'm actually doing for process. But frequently people just will write on that, go and do the processing that's inside the loop. And they will probably make a separate flowchart to show the processing inside the loop. So we say go and process. And then go back and check again. And that's how you work a loop. So I say is count less than or equal to? If it is, process. And then go back and check again. Process, go back and check again. And what I'm actually doing in processing is writing and also adding one to count. If it's not, then I drop out and I write end and I stop. So I write end and I stop. Okay? So that's the flowchart. Now, frequently, when people are doing loops, instead of making the no go off to the left, they maybe go straight down the way I've done it there. That tends to be the way they flow chart it. So I come in with a prompt and set count to one, and as long as count is less than or equal to data input, I process and then check again, process, check again, process, check again. Eventually, count is no longer less than or equal to it, and I drop out at the end. Questions? Okay. Then we will look at the next loop. This is a do loop. So if I say again, I want to write it four times, and again gives me four. But this time when I look at it, I've got too many things open. Okay, so this time it's a little bit different because I am asking the loop question after I have done the loop. So I'm saying do, and then I put in the stuff I want to do, and then I say apply it. So this means it will always do the loop once. It will always do the loop at least once. Okay? Because it has hits the do doesn't ask a question. It just says do it. And so it does the loop once. Then it says, now check and see if you want to do it again. So the while count is less than gets checked afterward. So if I look at the flowchart on this one, I have the start. Okay, so I'm doing the right. That should be a parallelogram, so I went back. I'm doing the right. Then I add one to count. Count equals count plus one. And then I ask the question, is count less than or equal to data input? And if the answer is yes, I go up and come in right there and do the loop again. If the answer is no, I write out the end and I stop. Okay, so on this one, you don't see anything except it says variable count equals one. Then the next thing you do, the next thing you see is document write. The do is just an entry point. It's telling it where to go back to. It's not doing anything. So I have the do, and then I have the write, then I add one to count, and then I check. And if count is less than or equal to data input, then I go back and I write and add one to count and I do the processing. If it is not, I drop out and end. Okay, so these are two ways of setting up a loop. One way is that you will always do it at least once. And one is you may not do it. And you as a programmer gets to decide which one works for you in a given situation. So you can pick and choose which loop you want to use. So, you know, lots of times, for example, with a game, you may want to force people to play it once. A simple little tic-tac-toe or whatever game. You may want to force them to play it once because they brought on to your game, you're going to try to play it once. And so then you would want to use something like the do loop so that they have to play it once. Okay? If it's something where you don't care whether they do it or not, then you can use the while loop. While loop, rather. So if I look at this one, and I put in a 0 instead of the 4, if I put in a 0, it gives me, this is number 1, so it did it once. Okay, it went through and gave me the, this is number 1. And then it checked and said, no, it's not working anymore, I'm out of here. Because count by this time is 2, is 2 less than or equal to 0, no, so I'm out of here. Okay? Questions? I'd be a lot happier if you asked questions. Doesn't anybody have a question? Please, please, please. Okay, ignore me. That's all right. Okay. But if you don't ask a question, you just have to look at more examples and we move faster. If you slow me down asking a question, there's some points there, or advantage there. Okay. This one is one where I'm going to give you much more information than you'd ever wanted to know. Because it's keeping coming up with these pop-ups. And those are done with alerts. And the reason I'm doing that is if you have a problem in the logic of your program, okay, and you have a problem with the logic and it is not acting correctly, then it's always good to kind of look at how things are being handled and look at the data. Because then you can frequently catch the problem. So I'm saying count at the beginning of the loop is 1. So that tells me where count is. And then I say, okay, enter the number of points you earned. So I'm going to enter 10. Okay? So now it's coming back and telling me the total points are 10. And then I say, okay, and it says, okay, now we're going to go back to the beginning of the loop, count is 2. So I'm keeping track of count. And count is 2, and I'm going to add 20, and that brings me up to 30. So this is helping me keep track of the total points. Let's say total points wasn't working. It's now showing me total points every time I go through the loop so I can figure out what's going wrong. So I added 20, it's now 30, it's now a 3. I'm going to add 30, and it's now 60. And it's now 4, and I'm going to add 40, and it's now 100. And it's now 5, and I'm going to add 50, and it's now 150, and it's stopping. But it kept giving me feedback all the way along. Would I ever do this normal? No. I do this because something isn't working. So I'm going to copy and paste this. Okay, so I do this with alerts, and I put up alert to keep track of count, and I put up an alert to keep track of total points. And when I get things working, I'm going to take those alerts out. I'm not going to leave those alerts in here. I'm going to take them out. But they're good for trying to figure out what's going on. Okay, so I have an alert, and I have two of them, one for count, one for total points. So on this one, okay, I'm taking in, or putting in rather, count equal to one. And I'm saying do it while count is less than or equal to five. So on the last one, I had the user put in data input, and so the user got to choose how many times. Now I'm hard coding a five in here, saying it's got to be done five times. Okay, so I'm now saying input the number of points you earned. And then I take this input points and I add it to total points and add those two together and assign it to total points. Okay, so I have going on here input points. Total points. And count. Okay? So count, I started out at one. And then I put input points, I put in a 10. Total points started out at zero. So I put in a 10. And my add statement says, take what's in input points, add it to total points, and assign it back to total points. So total points is now a 10. And then I say add one to count. And then I loop back. And I enter the points, and the points that I enter are 20. I take those points and add them to the total, which gets it up to 30. And I add one to count, which is now a 3. Okay? Then I go back. Is count less than five? Yes. Less than or equal to. So I ask for more input. I put in a 30. It adds it, and I end up with 60. And then I add one to count, which is now up to a 4. And I go back. Is 4 less than or equal to 5? Yes. So I enter the number of points, and I end up with 40. I add it, which gets me up to 100. I add one to count, which goes up to 5. I go back. Is 5 less than or equal to 5? Yeah, it's equal. So I take in 50. I added it. It makes it 150. And I add one to count. So now when I go back, count is 6. 6 is not less than or equal to 5, so it drops out. And at that point, it says, okay, is points less than 10? No. Points less than or equal to 50? No. So it's going to give me, you can choose A. And that's a if statement that we saw in another example. Okay. So it's telling me I can choose it from A. Does that make sense? So what I did here is I have a while loop that gathers all the data. And the while loop just goes through over and over and over again to gather the data. And then once I finish gathering the data, I look at it and make a decision about it based on my if statements. So my if statements make a decision about what prize you get. But my while loop gathered my data. So the while loop is gathering the data, and this is going out and doing it. So I came in, and I don't have as much room here, so I'm going to start out by saying count is one. And then I hit the while loop, and I'm saying do it while count is less than or equal to 5. Okay? And so while count is less than or equal to 5, I am putting out a prompt. Okay, I'm putting out a prompt, and I'm doing an add. And I'm increasing count by 1. So I'm doing a prompt, doing an add, and increasing count by 1. And I keep going through this loop over and over and over again. Okay, until finally count is no longer meeting my criteria. And then I'm going to ask the questions, is the total less than 10? If it is, no prize. If it's not, is it less than equal to 50? If it is, it's prize from B. Otherwise, it's a prize from A. And then I write out the message. So I write out the message. So I go through a loop up here to gather the data. And then once I have gathered the data, then I do my check to determine what message I'm going to put out. Yes, no, maybe? Questions? Okay, you are a quiet group. So the next one I'm going to get to, which is the last one we're going to look at, because I'm going to give you something to do here. Enter the points that player one earned. So I'm putting in a 5. Enter the points that player two earned. I'll put in a 9. And then it says, do you want to play again, yes or no? And I'm going to hit yes. Enter the points that player one earned. I'll give it a 7. And a 5, player 2. Do you want to play again? No. So, player 1 got 12, player 2 got 14. Okay? So if I look at this code, there's my code. So I started out and I had player one total, player two total, and then I had player one entry and player two entry. Then I said I wanted to parse the data as it came in. And because I parsed it as I came in, I didn't need to use the parse in the add. Because I had parsed it, it knew one of those were numbers. And knowing one of them is a number seems to make the browsers happy, and they do an add. Okay. When in doubt, throw in a parse statement. But because I parsed part player one entry as it came in, when I put it down here, it knew it was a number. And so it then decided to do an add. So just like count equals count plus 1, it sees a number there, and so it does the add correctly. I don't have to put parse integer on the count. So apparently, according to the browsers, if one of the things is a number, that's enough to keep it happy. paranoid that I am, I frequently put in two when I'm doing an ad, but it works that way. So parse integer. And then I said, all right, take player one total, add player one entry, and assign it back to player one total. Take player two total, add player two entry, assign it back to player two total. And then prompt the user, do you want to play again, yes or no? If they want to play again, they put in a Y. If they put anything else in other than a Y, then it's not going to play again. It has to be a capital Y, okay? And if it's not a capital Y, it's out of here. Because I said, do this while continue program equals capital Y. Okay, and there are ways to make it lowercase that we can look at, but for right now, it's a capital Y. So here is my setup for this. Here is where I set the control. My control is const program. That's my control. So I set it equal to Y before I went into the loop. I checked it as my condition for the loop. And I changed it down here when I gave the user the chance to enter in a Y or an N or anything else they wanted to enter. So I changed is down there when I gave the user the chance to change it. Okay? And if the user enters a Z, it's going to be out. It's only going to play if they enter a Y. Now I'm telling them Y and N because that's kind of the way the world works. You tell them Y and N. But in fact, if they enter anything other than a Y, the loop won't execute again. Yeah.
So it does make it go through once because you hard-coded it at once.
That's right.
Okay.
Right. And that's why the set is important. Okay. So then I print out the three lines at the bottom, two lines. Third is just a BR. I print out the three lines that says the total for player one is player one total. Then I did a document write of the BR all by itself, but it works, and I got a blank line that I then wrote on. So it moved down to the next line, basically. And then I wrote player two's total. Okay, so what I want you to do now is go in and modify this program to tell who won. Okay? I've got player one's total, I've got player two's total, I want to know who won. You only have about 9 minutes to do it. So, as long as this, if you want to do it, I will give you extra credit, as long as I get it before class on Thursday. Okay, because I want to go over it first thing on Thursday. So if you do it before class on Thursday, I'll give you extra credit. If it's sent to me before class on Thursday. If it's not sent to me before class on Thursday, that's fine. We'll just do it when you come in. But it's going to be extra credit. Yeah. So I want you to tell me who won. Now, how many possibilities are there?
Who won the game.
Who won the game? How many possibilities are there? Yeah. Not two. No. Because player one could win. Player two could win. What's the other possibility?
Draw.
Huh?
A draw.
A tie. So there's three possibilities. Player one wins, player two wins, or they both get the same score, so they got a tie or a draw. Okay? So you're going to change this program.
I'm hearing aids, so I can hear you.
And add in the stuff to tell me who won.
Is there a class here after this? Or can we stay?
Tuesday, no. You can't stay.
Oh, you can't stay.
No, you go into 104.
Yeah, sorry. Can you explain what you want us to do again?
I want you to tell me who won.
Like if I played the game? Or?
No. By writing the code that will tell who won. Okay? So write the code tell who won. For extra credit. If in the four class on 10 and 10. Okay, so I've got two players, player one and player two. So I want you to come down here and say, have it some if statements that tell me who won. Did player one win, or did player two win, or was it a tie? Say that again, I can't hear you.
The if statement, like the answer is this, player one wins?
Not if the answer is, you've got to compare the two answers. You've got to compare player one total and player two total, because that's where the two totals are. So you've got to compare player one total to player two total. So if player one total is bigger than player two total, then player one won.
Okay.
And this isn't a test for somebody, so you can talk to somebody about it, that's fine. But I just want you to do it. If you want to talk to the person next to you or whatever, that's fine. We're not in this class, but I do it in another class, maybe just the other class.